Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300. Welcome back. The last half hour of the program today, this Wednesday afternoon, May the 19th, is Audio Open Lines. It works very simply. We'll play a little audio for you. This from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly, talking about the denominational makeup of the U.S. Supreme Court, which is about to undergo a major change, one that's been underway for a while, but a major change. John Paul Stevens, with his retiring, will exit the court, and so will the last Protestant on the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, I think it's arguable that the U.S. Supreme Court has been a largely Protestant group for most of its history, but if Elena Kagan is confirmed, it would make up a Protestant-less Supreme Court, that is, mostly Roman Catholic, and then the remainder being of the Jewish persuasion. Now, should there be a Protestant on the U.S. Supreme Court? That's my question for you. If so, why? If not, then why not? Does it matter to you? The demographics of the Supreme Court. We talk a lot about whether we need a first Hispanic or a first woman or a first this or first that. Well, in the future, someone who nominates a Protestant to the U.S. Supreme Court will be returning and changing, making a major change religiously in its complexion. Is that something we need? Do you think there should be a Protestant on the U.S. Supreme Court? It's Wednesday afternoon, May the 19th. We're coming to you live. I want your answer to that question. You answer it by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us right here in the studio. We get your emails in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us with a question or a comment at issuesetc, or you can go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and leave your answer to the question right there. You'll see it. There's a link. facebook.com/issuesetc. First, let's hear from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly on the question of the denominational makeup of our U.S. Supreme Court.
Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan made the rounds in Washington this week, introducing herself to the senators who will vote on her confirmation as the newest justice on the high court. Special interest groups, many of them religious, are already urging specific lines of questioning for the upcoming hearings. If she's confirmed, Kagan would become the third Jewish justice and the third woman on the current court.
A court that would be more inclusive, more representative, more reflective of us as people than ever before.
Kagan's confirmation would also mean that for the first time in American history, the Supreme Court would have no Protestants. Does this matter? If so, what does it say about the place of Protestantism in America today? Joining me is Kim Lawton, our managing editor. Kim, I want to have a little discussion about this. People are saying, Protestants are saying, well, yes, this is a big symbol, and they're sad about it, of a decline of Protestant influence in this country. But at the same time, I hear other people saying it's really good news because it is a symbol of how far the country has come in overcoming the anti-Catholic and anti-Jewish prejudice that existed for so long, still exists, but there's been a lot of progress made on that. And they also say it matters a lot more what somebody thinks, a Supreme Court justice thinks on a particular issue, than what kind of religious label that person wears. You hear that?
Well, it is interesting. I mean, nobody's saying that she shouldn't be confirmed because it throws the religious balance of the court out or anything like that. But it has been a very interesting moment to take stock of this change in our society. But yeah, what I'm hearing from people, what I heard from one Protestant pastor this week was he said to me, I'm less concerned about her religious affiliation than I am about how she's going to vote on, for example, some of the religion cases. And certainly that those ideas of the separation of church and state and what kind of relationship the government and religion should have, that's been very controversial. There have been some very close decisions in the court. And so what she thinks about that, for example, is going to have a big impact no matter what kind of religious label she carries.
All right, I want to hear from you. We'll go back to the audio in just a moment. It's Wednesday afternoon, May the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. My question for you, it's audio open lines. Do you think there should be a Protestant on the Supreme Court? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org. That's our email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc. Or leave your answer to the question, should there be a Protestant on the U.S. Supreme Court, at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Yeah. There's also this idea that has been spoken of this week as sometimes about a Protestant worldview and how it's important. Protestants, after all, are half the country, 51%, but still pretty close to half. That there is such a thing as a Protestant worldview and that this needs to be represented on the court. But is there such a thing as a Protestant worldview anymore?
Well, that's been really interesting for me this week to watch or to read what some people are saying just in terms of that notion. Of course, people's faith, their beliefs affect their worldview, affect how they look at things, their values. But is there a uniquely Protestant worldview in this kind of situation? There are certainly a lot of different kinds of Protestants. And even when the court had all Protestants, they didn't have all unanimous decisions. So I do think it's been an interesting question that's been raised.
I want to hear from you. Do you think there should be a Protestant on the U.S. Supreme Court? 1-877-623-6943. Give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can leave your answer to the question at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Twitter us at issuesetc, or send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org.
And it doesn't mean that there can't ever in the future be another Protestant justice.
Well, certainly the Protestant influence in America is not going anywhere. I mean, our president is Protestant. We've only had one non-Protestant president. The majority of the U.S. Congress is Protestant. Protestants still are a vibrant community in this country and still very influential, but things are different than they used to be.
Kim Lawton, many thanks.
All right, now I want to hear from you. With the resignation of, or we should say the retiring, of John Paul Stevens from the U.S. Supreme Court, it changes the religious complexion of that highest judicial branch of our government from some Protestant representation to none whatsoever. Is it a representative body? Should it be? Do you think that a Protestant belongs on the Supreme Court and that the absence of a Protestant on the Supreme Court means something's missing there, a worldview, a perspective, a hope for how the court might vote on certain key issues? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Leave your answer also, if you want to, at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. This from James in Pasco, Washington. He says, I would prefer a Muslim American constitutionalist over an evangelical American impositionalist. However, the first would be like finding a needle in a haystack, where the second you can find at Walmart for 25 cents in the markdown aisle. What we are likely to get is a Marxist deconstructionist who will interpret law based on political whim, score one for Russian imports. All right, that's James in Pasco, Washington. He doesn't seem to care too much about the religious views or leanings of the U.S. Supreme Court justices as long as they are constitutionalists and not impositionalists or deconstructionists. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. Nancy in New York says, I would rather someone who respects the law. Primarily evangelicals, historical ones, and Reformed respect the law, the written law, and recognize that the truth does not change. But I'd much rather those who simply respect the Constitution and do not make it a quote-unquote living document. She kind of chimes in a little bit there with James in Pasco, Washington. Do you care what religious views your Supreme Court justices hold? Should there be a Protestant on the U.S. Supreme Court? 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Jason in Burt, Iowa says, I'd rather have a Lutheran than a Protestant any day. Ultimately, a constitutional originalist, regardless of religious affiliation, is the best choice, though. Now, there is a distinction made by Lutherans, not generally by Protestant, general Protestants, but Lutherans do not consider themselves to be Protestant in the strictest sense of the word, not historically and not theologically. They consider themselves to be Lutherans, or some would say evangelical Catholics, small c. So that's Jason in Burt, Iowa. Do you feel the need that your religious viewpoints are represented by the justices, or at least one justice, on the U.S. Supreme Court? 1-877-623-MY-IE, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Adam says, the court isn't a representative institution and never has been. America has never been one-third Jewish, and the court is. Its purpose is to judge laws. So long as a justice does that, it doesn't matter what he professes to believe. Nobody ever discusses Sonia Sotomayor's Roman Catholicism, since it doesn't seem to matter much to her in her understanding of the right to life. Now, that's a good point. The court is a majority Roman Catholic, but still not a firm majority pro-life. It should be if they were Roman Catholics and believing what their church actually teaches, but they're not. So does it matter what they say they believe religiously? It's audio open lines, issues, etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 19th. Do you think there should be a Protestant on the U.S. Supreme Court? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc. Or leave your answer to the question at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is a devotional resource called Stark's Prayer Book. You'll find prayers for patience, strength, sickness, thanksgiving, dying, and more in Stark's Prayer Book. This devotional resource costs $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Stark's Prayer Book.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
No consultants necessary. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy presents its annual symposium on catechesis in Waukesha, Wisconsin, June 16th through the 18th. This year's theme, the first article of the Creed. Presentations include catechesis on the first three chapters of Genesis, the fatherhood of God, Christ and creation, atheism, evolution, and the Christian faith and life. Register online at peacesussex.org.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker. So what do you think? Should there be a Protestant on the U.S. Supreme Court? It's my question for you during Audio Open Lines on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 19th. 10 more minutes. Plenty of time for your phone calls answering the question. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. You can also email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Twitter us at @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page is happy to take your answer to the question as well. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Let's see. Before the break, two things to clarify. One is that I had mentioned before that Lutherans don't generally consider themselves to be Protestant. Lutherans will make a distinction between the Lutheran Reformation, that is, those events surrounding Luther and the other Lutheran reformers in Germany, and, in particular, the documents that they forged over about 25, 30 years that are called the Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord, and then all the rest of the Protestant Reformation that took place perhaps at the impetus of the Lutheran Reformation, but largely deviated from it doctrinally. That's why the difference in nomenclature here. Josh in St. Louis says this, "My mind isn't made up on this question, but my gut reaction is to resist the identity politics the question begs. I care much more about the judicial philosophy of justices and nominees than I do about the religious affiliation, and I'd also point out that the Roman Catholics on the court do not all share the same views. They are not united on the right to life, for example." Josh, thank you very much for that comment in St. Louis. Jerry in Deer Lodge, Montana says, "It really won't make any difference unless those on the court actually make their decisions based on their religion. If the Protestant, the Roman Catholic, or the Jewish members of the court voted according to their church's official teaching, there would be no abortion issue. Regardless of their announced faith, they should make decisions based on the Constitution and the law." What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc. In a similar vein to Josh in St. Louis, Matt in Minnesota says, "Frankly, it would be nice if the Roman Catholics on the court were actually Roman Catholic, not just Roman in name only. With the Protestant label, that's too wide of a group." Well, that's true. That's part of the problem with the label Protestant. It represents just about anything and everything, from fundamentalists to pop American evangelicals to mainline Protestant denominations. You can find just about anything there. Think about it. The United Church of Christ considers itself a Protestant denomination, as does the most conservative non-denominational church you could find any place. They all fall under the same umbrella of Protestant. Maybe the term itself is not meaningful enough, not useful enough to be a religious designation anymore. That's why I prefer finer distinctions like Lutheran or Roman Catholic. Although most of the comments here seem to say it doesn't seem to matter much. You can put a Roman Catholic on the court hoping that a Roman Catholic will protect life from beginning to end, and some of them just don't, in spite of what their church teaches. Ron in Rockford, Illinois says, "Judicial philosophy is more important than religious affiliation. Catholics have a more stated worldview than many Protestants. Besides, there are so many liberal Protestant denominations which could produce a weak secular worldview." Not only could it, in some of their churches it has, you're right. You know, with the Roman Catholic, you still have the ability to say this is what they ought to believe. With kind of generic Protestantism of the American landscape, there's no way to say what they ought to believe because there's no objective statement of belief. You can take a Roman Catholic justice and a statement of the current reigning pope, and you can lay them side by side, or a decision of a justice and the statements of belief of the Roman Catholic Church, and lay them side by side and say there is some consistency or there is some inconsistency there. But you can't really do that when all someone is just kind of the generic Protestant. Let's see. Andrew in Wausau, Wisconsin says, "I think there should be a Lutheran on the Supreme Court." There was. Was it Chief Justice Rehnquist, before he retired, was a Lutheran of some stripe? Jim in Morton, Illinois says there should be a practicing Christian on the Supreme Court. When is the court going to hear cases that challenge the Patriot Act? This act is unconstitutional, yet the court refuses to address it. Still time for your questions, your comments, and your answer to the question, should there be a Protestant on the U.S. Supreme Court? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Doug in Canada says, not really, in answer to the question of whether there should be a Protestant on the U.S. Supreme Court. He says, not really. I'd rather have a Lutheran. Now, this is a good example. Lutheran can also be broadly interpreted. Unfortunately, the name Lutheran still flies as a flag over a lot of churches that ceased to be Lutheran a long time ago, even whole denominations, like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, in which you can believe and profess and practice just about anything. But if you mean an historic Lutheran, you'd certainly know where such a justice stood. I've wondered this, and I think this is an interesting question. Could someone who stands firmly with the Lutheran Reformation in good conscience serve on the U.S. Supreme Court? As much as we don't want to admit it, even in our courts, politics is the art of the possible and it requires compromise. And if he carried his consistent beliefs into the court, he might find himself in the minority position an awful lot. Daniel in Iowa City says, Protestant is too broad a term to use for this discussion. There's no way to form an opinion. Neil in Asheville, North Carolina says, anyone who thinks a person's religion has no effect on the way he should judge does not understand that all one's opinions ultimately come from one's religious beliefs. If you do not believe in God, then you're incapable of swearing an oath. This is the oath that they are required to swear. I do solemnly swear that I will administer justice without respect to persons and do equal right to the poor and to the rich, and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge and perform all the duties incumbent upon me under the Constitution and the laws of the United States, so help me God. That's the oath that they swear. And Neil goes on to say, they are incapable of this because an oath is fundamentally a religious act. That is why they invoke God in the oath. If you do not believe in the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you do not believe in God, and therefore you do not belong in any judicial bench, much less the Supreme Court. I mean, there's another big question. Could there be an atheist, a professed atheist, on the U.S. Supreme Court? That's another question for another time. It is a broad term, Protestant, and I have no idea what John Paul Stevens believes now that he's retiring from the court. He calls himself a Protestant. What do we want from our justices? What we want from our justices is a fair reading of the Constitution, and we want them to impartially judge the cases that are brought before them based upon that Constitution. You know what we require of these men and these women? We require that they put on blinders. That's hard. We require that they put on blinders and stare intently at the case before them and the Constitution and think narrowly. And that in some cases, they may discover that their religious views don't square with the Constitution. And yet we say to them, when we say be a strict constructionist, we want them to pay attention only to the Constitution, not to the Bible, not to their pastor, not to their religious views, not to their religious upbringing. That's a tough position to put someone in, anyone in. And those who hold to a biblical viewpoint, we want them to see that the Constitution does protect U.S. citizens, even the ones who aren't born. It does afford us a right to exercise our religion without restraint. Daniel in Iowa City said earlier that the Protestant is just too broad a term. You can't form an opinion. The question is impossible to answer. Well, yes, it's true, especially when the word Protestant can mean anything. I always laugh when people say, I'm a Christian. I'm not a Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist, whatever it may be, although they may go to that church. I always laugh at it because it's a term so broad that it can mean anything. John Shelby Spong, who denies almost everything that the Bible teaches, calls himself a Christian. And so does the most devout Bible-believing Christian. It's not that labels are useless. It's that we misuse them. If you're going to carry a label, it should mean something. It shouldn't just be a way of hiding from being labeled. It should mean something. Protestant, Lutheran, Roman Catholic, and especially Christian. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for May is called Stark's Prayer Book. I recommend prayer books, especially this one, because it is so full of the Bible, so full of Scripture. Find out more about Stark's Prayer Book at our website, issuesetc.org, or call and order Stark's Prayer Book from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for May, Stark's Prayer Book. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk about Emperor Constantine and his mother, Helena. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.